2 years after a funding cut, a House committee votes to restore a Haynes Forester job. And in Skagway and Haynes, groups harness the momentum of the Women's March. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. About 2 years after funding for the Haynes State Forestry Office was zeroed out in the state budget, there's some hope that money for one seasonal position may be restored. The House Finance Committee Thursday voted to add about $100,000 for one part-time forester into its operating budget bill. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
The amendment made it to the House Finance Committee with the help of two Southeast representatives whose districts do not include Haynes, Justin Parrish and Dan Ortiz.
I just think it was a mistake to cut that position.
The amendment originated with Juneau Democrat Parrish. He sits on the Finance Subcommittee that deals with the Department of Natural Resources budget. He said during the subcommittee process, he learned that the Haynes Forestry Office was hanging by a thread.
And I was just shocked that in an area where we've made such important timber sales, we'd eliminated the position of the person who would be managing those sales.
Since funding for the two Haynes Forester jobs was zeroed out in 2015, the Division of Forestry has scraped together money from other areas to pay for one seasonal forester, Greg Palmieri. Palmieri has been in the job more than 20 years. He spoke with KHNS in 2015 about coping with the uncertainty.
To let things fall down around you and have the public lose services as a result of that is not part of something I could accept.
If Palmieri's job were to disappear, Haynes would be left without local forestry management in the midst of some major developments. The largest timber sale in the Haynes State Forest in a generation is moving towards harvest. In the same area, Constantine Metal Resources is ramping up exploration for a potential mine.
While we do need to contain our costs, sometimes our reductions go too far, and they end up being counterproductive to the overall good of the economy.
Representative Dan Ortiz, an independent from Ketchikan, carried Parrish's proposal into the House Finance Committee. This week, the committee has combed through 100 pages of proposed changes to its operating budget bill.
This amendment promotes economic opportunity in a time when our state is seeing a decline in economic opportunity.
Ortiz's proposal to spend $102,000 from the general fund came up in the middle of hundreds of amendments aimed at slashing spending.
This may be the right decision if we had money.
Anchorage Republican Lance Pruitt said he might have supported the amendment if the committee had accepted more of the previous budget-cutting proposals. Fairbanks Republican Steve Thompson said the same thing.
There's been hundreds of possibilities to reduce spending that would have covered this, and we haven't done it. We're sitting here for days without trying to address, okay, we do need this, let's offset it with a reduction over here.
But the representatives in Pruitt and Thompson's corner were in the minority. The amendment passed 7-4. That's one step towards restoring funding to the Haynes Forestry Office. But the Finance Committee budget bill still needs to be passed by the full House, sent to the Senate, and then approved by both chambers. In Haynes, I'm Emily Files.
How should the Haynes Borough make changes to where local heliski companies can operate? That question has been on the table for several months. Now the Assembly Commerce Committee has an idea that would eliminate the group that currently works through proposed amendments. The most recent heliski map committee was overcome by a couple issues. One, the two permit holders who submitted map changes sat on the committee, raising questions about conflicts of interest. Two, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is still working on wildlife studies in the area. The committee worked for a few months at the end of last year and submitted recommendations to the manager. The manager then made his recommendations to the assembly. But the assembly put the process on hold, voting to postpone making any changes until at least the summer. That's when more information is expected to be available from Fish and Game. They also plan to have a new vetting process in place. The Assembly sent questions about changing the makeup of the committee and whether it should even exist to the Commerce Committee. On Monday, that group said maybe the MAP committee shouldn't exist. Assembly members Margaret Friedenauer and Tresham Gregg were present on the Commerce Committee. Ron Jackson and Tom Morfitt sat with the public. Here's what they came up with. First, MAP amendment proposals would be filtered for wildlife concerns based on data from Fish and Game and standards set by the Northern Wild Sheep and Goat Council. That would be done by borough staff. Then the proposals would go separately to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee and the Tourism Advisory Board. Those groups would evaluate the changes for commerce and backcountry user conflicts and make their recommendations to the Assembly. Essentially, the borough would use two existing advisory boards and staff to scrutinize MAP proposals. The group will bring this idea back to the Assembly. If they agree with it, the committee will draw up an ordinance to implement the changes. It could be tested this summer if the ordinance is passed and the Fish and Game studies are complete. In January, the day after Donald Trump's inauguration, people around the world marched in support of a number of issues, many related to equality and human rights. Hundreds of people turned out for women's marches in Haines and Skagway, far exceeding expectations. Now, members of both communities are working to build on the momentum of the marches.
Now more than ever, but always, people need to find avenues of accessibility to politics.
Jean Tyson is part of a local group that formed after the women's march called Take Action Skagway, or TASK. Robin Salfisberg is also one of the organizers.
A group of us came together after the women's march, and we wanted to talk about how to continue some of the ideas that were brought forward, especially in terms of equality and respect, and how we could focus that locally and further those ideas.
Simon Van Sinchen says it was clear from the women's march the momentum was there to continue the conversation.
More than 100 people showed up in Skagway, and we felt that that was made it obvious that there's people who want to be more involved civically, politically, whatever they want to do. And basically, the idea of TASK was more, rather than having a very specific agenda, we wanted to enable people to organize.
Like the march, TASK is nonpartisan and open to anyone. Their first action was writing a letter to ask the municipality to adopt a resolution promoting Skagway as a welcoming community. Here's Salfisberg.
Having the city officially committing to providing a safe place for people, regardless of ethnicity, race, religious belief, or sexual orientation.
The group members agree Skagway is already a welcoming place, but this resolution would make it an official stance. Here's Van Sinchen.
It's always useful and powerful to have that attitude written down.
More than 50 people signed the letter. The Assembly sent it to the Civic Affairs Committee, and borough staff are drafting a resolution. The welcoming resolution is also being merged with a proposal for a welcoming garden. That space would be a visual reminder of Skagway's inclusive attitude. Meanwhile, a little further down the Lynn Canal in Haines,
I want you to write as fast as you can, just list all of the things that you could do or that could be done to deal with the issues that we're facing now.
Melissa Aronson led a group exercise at the public library.
All of what's going on is overwhelming. And sometimes the reaction to being overwhelmed is to say, I'm going to go check out a bunch of videos and do nothing. So what we're going to do is a little bit of a process that's going to help you maybe focus a little bit.
More than 30 people brainstormed concrete steps they could take to work toward the change they want to see. Ideas ranged from calling representatives to getting involved with local politics.
Finding a personal balance in order to maintain a positive, engaged frame of reference.
Run for office.
Run for office.
Learn to communicate more effectively through nonviolent communication.
Going to assembly meetings.
Call, email, or write Dan, Don, and Lisa.
Stay informed / raise awareness about organizations that might be in jeopardy and need funding.
At the Haines meeting, a lot of the conversation was about how to deal with concerns with the Trump administration. Aronson established a goal for the month, to change one personal behavior. and each month choose one more goal.
We can't change all of our behaviors, but we can change one at a time. And we can practice that one changed behavior, and then we can come back and change another one.
Aronson pushed the group to channel their dissatisfaction into concrete actions. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins.